Every day, Bill Frank...
We're going to be doing one thing, and one thing only.
...talks with the best guests in America about business.
You mean business?
Monkey business?
Are you ready to get down to business?
All right! Everybody's here, and that means we can get down to business.
Entertainment.
Entertainment.
The entertainment capital of the world.
What kind of entertainment?
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Sports.
Game on.
A grueling test of strength, speed, and stamina.
Wow, just like in the pros.
And the local community.
The rage in local radio.
Find out what's going on locally.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time now for the Bill Frank Radio Show on News Talk 1520 KVTA. Now, here's your host.
Bill Frank.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to the Bill Frank Radio Show. We're on every day, Monday through Friday at 3 o'clock here on News Talk 1520 KVTA. Or you can hear us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura. The Bill Frank Radio Show is smart radio with sharp questions aimed at intelligent guests. It's talk radio done right for the 21st century. If you want to join in the conversation, you can always call us at 289-1520, or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-289-1520. Before we get to my first guest, I do have a couple of shout-outs for people who have been calling in or writing in on the website. First of all, here in Ventura, big shout-out to Nancy, John A., and Gerald Z. Thank you all for being loyal listeners. Down in Oxnard, Bob R. and Denise C. Denise, you know who you are. Thanks for being loyal listeners. And Ron McSee, thank you for the really kind comments on the website. Out in Valencia, Coach Ron. And I have a big special shout-out for Candy and Doug Stottenborough, who are the parents of Mia Stottenborough, and Shannon and Rob Yance, who are the parents of Carly Yance. Both families right now are suffering with their children through aplastic anemia, a very rare form of cancer. My heart goes out to them. Keep them in your thoughts, and a big shout-out to all of them as well. We've got a great show for you today. We're going to be talking to some national and some international guests. My first guest, however, really comes from an interesting background. You have to ask the question, what impact does starting a business have on a family? Well, my next guest knows. She married into an entrepreneurial family with the largest organic yogurt company in the world. She's written guidelines for entrepreneurs and their families titled For Better or For Work. Meg Hirschberg grew up in upstate New York, just outside of New York City. She graduated from Brown University with a degree in comparative literature. After college, she moved out here to California to work on an organic farm. After 3 years, she ran a science education garden for elementary school children. Her interest in organic gardening led her to a master's degree from Cornell Agricultural School. Eventually, Meg moved to New Hampshire and married Gary Hirschberg, who's the founder and the current president and CEO of Stonyfield Yogurt, whom she met at an organic farming conference. And that's the company, Stonyfield Yogurt, has about $350 million in sales, and as I said, it's the largest organic yogurt company in the world. After Meg stopped working in the business, she wrote 2 yogurt cookbooks, and she launched a career in freelance nonfiction feature writing for magazine. Meg enjoys gardening, going for long walks, teaching nonfiction writing at community college. Meg and Gary have 3 children joining us from the East Coast. Hi, Meg. How are you this evening?
Very well, Bill. How are you doing?
Well, I am doing terrific. Now, as a spouse of an entrepreneur, you know firsthand what it's like to be inside of a startup and the impact that that has on a family and on a business. You write about in detail about the importance of not putting your life on hold at the same time that you're growing the business. Talk to us about why it's important that you can't put your everyday life on hold, even though the business may be all-consuming.
Well, it's a great question, and Gary and I did a lot of things wrong in the early years, personally and professionally in our business, but one thing that we did right was we, and partly inspired by our partners, the Caymans, who went ahead and had this very large family, even though we were all on the brink of, you know, financial disaster for about the first 9 years of our business. But we realized early on that if you put your life on hold, the significant goals that you want to achieve, whatever they happen to be, whether it's actually marrying someone or having a child or getting a house, even taking a nice vacation, you will be tempted to perpetually put these things on hold, because when you own a business, there's never really a right time to do anything. You have to, you know, usually there's no right time because there's no time at all and usually no money. And so, or the money is unstable. You know, the income is often unstable, especially during the startup years. But I have interviewed, you know, as you mentioned, hundreds of entrepreneurs over the course of writing this book and for my column in Inc. magazine. And those people who did keep delaying and sort of pushing the ball further down the road there, you know, wound up regretting a lot because you'll never find the right time. It's like exercise. You know, you wait for the right time, you'll never do it.
Well, interesting. My guest is Meg Hirschberg. So, Meg, that's an interesting analogy that you draw. What I found interesting as I read your book, For Better or For Work, is that you give these 20 simple rules for domestic harmony. And I'm not going to read all 20 on the air, but I'm just going to pick a few of them out because, to me, they sound exactly like the same rules that you would have in any marriage. You say things like, give your spouse a voice. Don't squeeze your spouse in. Treat your spouse like your most important client. Acknowledge your spouse's role. Establish systems in your family. You know, prioritize communications. Take the long view. Work together. While these are all very, very important, and I'm sure that they're important for entrepreneurs, they just sound like the basic rules of marriage. Tell me, what is it that's different about being an entrepreneurial family than it is being just a family?
Well, you make a great point, Bill. And much of the book, I would say most of the book, is really applicable to most marriages, particularly where people have a hard time sort of demarking what's work and what's not work. But that applies to a lot of people and, you know, professionals of all stripes. The reason I kind of pitch it to entrepreneurs, though again, it's really a lot of people can get a lot from this book, I think, but the reason I slant it toward entrepreneurs is because the issues that come up in any marriage, as you mentioned, a lot of them can be really exacerbated in a family in which one person is an entrepreneur. For example, there's the issue of financial risk. The entrepreneur, when they borrow money from friends and family or from a bank, or they take out a line of credit on the house to fund a piece of equipment or something, you know, they're putting everybody at risk. As opposed to, say, people who have work, it might be demanding work, but at least they've got sort of their paid vacations and their regular paychecks and certain things that they can count on. So that, and there are other issues in entrepreneurial families, for example, the tendency to work all the time or to always be on because you're really where the buck stops. If you're not the boss, you know, you can take a Sunday and feel okay about it. But when you're the boss, you feel you've always got to be on tap. And that puts families under a lot of strain.
It does.
So yes, I agree with you that most of this book actually applies to most marriages, but again, the strain I think is greater for families in which a business is a third partner.
A third partner in the marriage. My guest is Meg Hirschberg, author of the book For Better or For Work, a survival guide for entrepreneurs and their families. Meg, we've got a break for some traffic, but when we come back, I want to hear a little bit about the startup story behind Stonyfield Yogurt. You are the number one organic yogurt company in the world. We want to hear about how you and Gary grew that company. You were involved in the early years of the company. Subsequently, of course, you have left it to pursue your writing career, but tell us the story of how you grew Stonyfield Yogurt into the world's largest organic yogurt company, and then tell us why you left the business.
Well, I only worked in the business the first couple of years. The strain was so great because we were manufacturing yogurt actually at Stonyfield Farm for the first many years, and it was just a grossly inefficient place to make anything. You know, when you make yogurt at any scale, you really need a sterile environment. I mean, and we had chickens running around and a dirt road. And, you know, so we lost a lot to spoilage in those years. And everything was double and triple handled and inefficient. And we lost money hand over fist. We didn't start making money until we moved production off. Finally, we got some money raised to move production off the farm. But during those years that we were on the farm and that living with the employees and the yogurt and the trucks and everything happening, they were extremely stressful for us. And after a couple of years of that, I just sort of turned to Gary and said, you know, I can't do this anymore. I mean, by then I'd had a child, and I just had to separate myself from what was really sort of a disaster-plagued many years. And so I wasn't really part of that that ramp up that led to a successful business, I really give full credit to Gary and Samuel and all the people who just really worked their heart out during those years. I would say the reason the business succeeded is because Gary and Samuel, our partner, kept their eye on the ball of what they were trying to do. I mean, there, for example, there was a lot of pressure to cheapen the product and make it more like a commodity, like Columbo in those days or Yoplait now, because our ingredients cost more money and our margins aren't as good. And so there was a lot of pressure to do that they really resisted. They felt like, you know, we have to, our niche is to really, and we're committed to making the healthiest yogurt possible. And so things like that, that they kept their eye on the ball, that initially it looked foolish, but in the net it really paid off because the holy grail for any consumer product is consumer loyalty. And our consumers recognized that we were serious about what we were trying to do, and it really spread with word of mouth, not by advertising.
That is a great story. My guest is Meg Hirschberg, author of the book For Better or For Work, a survival guide for the entrepreneurs and their families. Meg, what do you want people to take away from reading your book, For Better or For Work?
I think that it's important. My goal is for the book to stimulate conversation and understanding. Because I think that it, especially when there's a business that is sort of squatting in the middle of a family and creating a lot of strain, the potential for alienation really grows. I mean, it does, as you say, in any marriage. But certainly when there's a lot of other external forces, the odds are greater. So what I try to do is really is tell a lot of stories, give some suggestions, give some hope, and let people know that they're not alone in their struggles. We felt very isolated for the first many years. We didn't know other entrepreneurs. We had no one we could talk to. And also, I think, especially for people in business, and for a lot of other people too, there's a certain kind of bravado, like you don't want to admit that things aren't going well, and so you don't know who to talk to. So this book is really an outgrowth of my columns for Inc. magazine that I've been writing on these similar kinds of topics, and I have gotten so many hundreds of letters. That's why I decided to write the book, is because I saw, wow, these kinds of conversations are really useful for people.
Well, now, Meg, if people are interested and they want to learn more about you, learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Well, I have a website. It's www.meghirschberg.com, and on that you can read some about you can see all my columns and things I've written, and I also have a whole page devoted to the book, to what the book is about, and to really, I've gotten, been very gratified that I've received a lot of wonderful early reviews from both media and from entrepreneurs about the book.
Oh, that is great. Meg, thank you so much for being my guest here on the Bill Frank Radio Show. We'll be talking to you down the road.
Great, Bill. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.